Yes, what a little treat we've got for you today. We've only got the top scorer in the country. Stephen, thanks very much for coming on.
How you doing? Yeah, no worries.
Just wrote here, two best players outside the SPL.
Who's that? Me and you?
And if you're happy to accept second, mate, we can crack on.
I thought you were talking about Del there.
Oh, no. That's what I was going to say, Del Lyle's former partner in crime, but I'm not going to say that because the Polo's going to end up putting your
dog. Oh, don't say that, man.
Right, I want to ask you something before we go back to the start. Your wife's tweet the other day.
Yeah.
She said about how hard you worked and all that.
Yeah.
And it brought me back because I remember seeing you play about 11 years ago for Queens. I was at Celtic, it was a bounce game.
Right.
And you could see how much ability you had, but no offence, you needed a moped and a litre of petrol to get rid of it. I remember thinking, this guy's got so unreal ability, but he was just really heavy. So I know a lot of young football players watch this. I just wanted to know, when did the penny drop and you thought, right, I need to get a grip on myself?
Yeah, mate. I think, as I said to you, when I went into Dumbarton on loan at first, and the boys were coming part-time working, and then it was just the love of the football for them. And I kind of thought, no, I don't want to be doing that. I want to give this a right go. And then went to the Queens with Ian McCall. He was doing extra sessions, getting a physio at night time on the bike and all that kind of stuff. And it wasn't really in my last season where I thought, I'm going to give this a try. And because I felt I had the ability, but just had to lose a couple of stones. And then I did, and I ended up getting to England for it.
And how important is it the way you live your life, just for obviously young football players that watch your show?
Yeah, well, I think I look back and I wish I'd done more back then, but I think it's a different culture now. Like, back then was every second Tuesday we were out drinking, the players. Well, now, I've not had a drink since about May. So it's a different, a bit, probably my age as well is a big difference as well.
Right, okay, brilliant. Right, we'll go back to the start. Started out at Rangers. Right. How did that come about, players playing boys club and Rangers picked you up?
Yeah, I signed when I was 12. I was at Hearts and then Rangers came, and then obviously because Rangers was my team as I was a young boy, couldn't say no to that, and then went through the ranks, so it was amazing.
Who were some of the young boys that were in there at the time when you first went full time?
We had Stevie Hughes.
Oh, Stevie, Stevie Hughes.
So it was me and him, we signed the same day.
Right.
Obviously, at the time, he ended up breaking into the first team alongside like Barry Ferguson and that. And at that time, Shug was a class above everybody.
Was he a good player?
Brilliant,
good
honestly.
Career he had as well, didn't he? Uh-huh.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. And then I don't really know the ins and outs what happened to him, but at that time, he was by far the best player in our under-18s team.
Good upbringing through with the coaching and that you got there?
Brilliant. We had it was just to see the facilities and the...
Like, is it Murray Park?
Murray Park. Well, it was Ibrox and then we went to Murray Park and then... But the places they took you, like, on trips. I mean, when I first was there, I'd never been abroad. And they took us to Bermuda for 2 weeks. We ended up staying with Rangers fan club in their houses. So me and Davey Matthews, I'm from Blanc, he's from Easterhouse. And we're away to this family with two daughters and their wife and the husband. We're sitting around a table and they're saying grace, and me and him are from the East End going, I don't know what's going on here. And then for the other week, we stayed in Army Barracks. So we're up at 5 in the morning, the bell was ringing, and we're running around the courtyard. We're like, oh, this isn't for us.
Wow.
But that's the way it was. It was... They showed you the world, really.
What about older players, like first team players at that time? Who was there?
Well, you had the likes of, they were signing like Tory Andrew Flo for 15 million, so Ronald De Boer, Billy Dodds. So to get an opportunity was different nowadays.
Uh-huh. Were they guys good to be the older guys?
Brilliant. Dodgy was excellent. And then Dodgy ended up coming to Queens when I was there as the striking coach. So I put a lot down to my finishing through Dodgy.
So would he take you aside and.
Yeah, he took it the last like 20 minutes after the training finished and try and work on side footing the ball, then blasting it in different areas of the round about the box. So Dodgy was excellent.
Do you do that with young boys now at Queens?
I do, yeah. I try to trying to put the wisdom that Dodgy passed on to me, but it's just about learning.
Mm-hmm. You never made an appearance for Rangers. Why do you think that was? Just because of the quality that was there?
I think so. I think the... When you're buying players 15 million, and especially a club like Rangers, need to succeed. I think getting younger ones at that time was a problem, I think. Mm-hmm. But when you've got likes of Barry Ferguson playing in that, look at his career, is absolutely amazing.
Mm-hmm. Did you see when you went to leave, Was it gutting to leave? Obviously, as you said, you're a boyhood club.
It was. I mean, even before I signed for Rangers, I would go to the games with my dad and my granddad, and then getting the chance to pull that jersey on, but just not in the first team was amazing. But the time when you've been told, right, I think that's about it. It is, it hits in for the first, the weekend. Mm-hmm. Then I got the phone call on the Sunday night to say, look, you're going on trial at Hibs.
How did that come about? Has Hibs seen you play reserves or something?
Yeah, I played a game against Partick, and luckily Bobby was there, Bobby Williamson was there watching us, and I scored 5. So it was like 3 weeks later, and then I got the call to go to Hibs.
And what was your first impressions of Bobby?
Brilliant, absolutely brilliant. Well, when I signed, Bobby was always, obviously I was a wee bit heavier, he was always on me about my weight and that. And I was injured one day, I was on the bed, and Bobby was always late in. So the team would be warming up, and Bobby would walk in with, you know, you get the, is it Rustler's?
Burger.
Sausage rolls, right? So he comes in with the microwave to heat the heat packs up. So I'm getting treatment, and he's got the wee sachet of tomato sauce in it. He's giving me abuse about being a bit overweight.
Good example, isn't he?
Brilliant.
But big Gaz O'Connor said every time he went into his office, it smelled of toast.
Oh, Bobby was non-stop eating. Jerry McCabe used to pick us up. We used to train, they'll get to be on a Friday, and Bobby would be late every Friday. How can he be late?
Because
me, Tam, Manus and Cabe. We passed a burger van. Bobby was walking back with 2 cheeseburgers at 9 in the morning.
Both for him, John. That was one for Cabe.
No, Nate was with him. Cabe was us.
Oh, brilliant.
So, Babe was brilliant, the character. Him and Cabe and Jim Clark was brilliant at that time.
And what did he say to you? Did he say you're coming here to play, or was it you need to come and prove yourself and try and get in the team?
He basically just said, look, I like your style of play. You just attack, and if you give the ball away, you just try again. So the players that we've got, like Wee Bruni and Derek Reardon and Gaz, Tam McManus, you suit in with that group.
Yeah, and how were they a group of players? How good were
Brilliant.
They?
Brilliant. I think because it was mostly young boys, we got on great, and we had no fear. And that year we ended up getting to the League Cup final.
See, all the players, even back then, who would you have picked out back then as being the one that would go and do the best? Was there one that stood out?
Stevie Whittaker, aye.
Was it? Eh?
Aye, even in training, he'd beat 4 and 5 guys and put it in the top corner.
Really?
Both feet, aye. Wow. I wouldn't have said Bruni, because Bruni was a winger at that time. He was just mad.
So Gary O'Connor said the same thing, you wouldn't have picked Bruni as well.
No,
Why do you think he's done so well?
I think he's just adapted and he's learnt. And obviously with Brendan coming in, his career's went up another level.
Mm-hmm. One guy I mentioned again, Gary O'Connor. How thick was he back then? He's a lovable 20, I love him.
Aye, Gaz was brilliant, honestly. Just like he could be sitting in a corner and you'd be talking to him, he'd just blank you. It was just because he wasn't really listening. Uh-huh. But then you got him on the field and he was an animal.
Good player. We just go together, innit?
Some of the Glasgow boys would go through to Edinburgh, and obviously Deeks and Gaz ran the show through there, so we had a few good nights.
That Hibs team, if it stayed together, because Gary O'Connor's words were, if that Hibs team had stayed together, you think they could have won the league, would you go along with that?
Maybe a bit much of winning the league. I think maybe 5-6 years in, if they progressed, then we might have had a chance. Because mm-hmm. obviously you had Kevin Thompson, Scott Brown, Steve Whittaker, all these players went to play higher levels, so... It was maybe just their age at that time.
Mm-hmm. Was it tough for you, competition for places, if you were up against guys like Reardon and Gaz O'Connor?
It was. I obviously wanted to play more, but when you've got Gaz and Dixie and Scotty Brown was obviously playing wide right, so it kind of limited a wee bit.
Would you ever go and say to Bobby, like, I need to start playing now?
Oh, I chapped his door a few times, aye, but...
And how would he be with that?
Tell me to come back after his lunch.
Tomato sauce. So when Bobby got sacked, were you a bit disappointed, or...?
I was, yeah, because the... How, like, Jerry McCabe and Clark and that was with us, it was fun, you know, and then when Morga came in, it was more serious.
Mm-hmm. Morg is very tactical and he's very serious.
But brilliant, brilliant guy, and the way he works on the training field, you can see why he's went to like a Celtic and he's at Blackburn now.
Is Morg the sort of manager that would bring your game on?
Confidence wise, definitely, and positional wise, because he was really tactics on the training field was a big thing.
So how come you left Hibs and was it St Johnstone you went to?
Yeah, I went on loan to St Johnstone, and then Owen Coyle signed me. And then I thought I just need to be playing.
Uh-huh. And how was on Coyle for you? Good?
Coyle's all right. He was all right. He was more, because he was an attacker, all he wanted to do was really play chip him off the bar and catching it and playing for cakes and that kind of stuff.
He loves that, didn't he? I heard but that.
He was good, but Coyle wanted to get off the train field, set the poker chips up, so he did. So you're like, right, hurry up, get your shower. You set the poker chips up, you want to get down the road, you know what I mean?
What, and he's wanting a game of poker with the boys?
You weren't allowed to him until we finished at least one game.
And he's a big Iron Brew man, isn't he?
That's what he kept saying to me, Iron Brew and a chippy on a Friday night for the game, and I'd go out and score five. I'm trying to lose weight.
You've had the wrong managers up to this point, haven't you, mate?
It wasn't my fault, that's what it was.
Bad examples for you, and then Dumbarton?
That's what it was, Jerry McCabe was the manager, so... I'd just come back for a hernia operation and just needed to play. Coyle had said, like, you're not going to play here at this specific moment, so I went on loan there and just got back and joined football again.
See, with the Hibs and the St Johnstone no playing, was it odd on your mate or was there other things?
I think off the park I didn't look after myself and probably enjoy myself more the status of being a football player, as in going out and enjoying my nights out, where I should maybe have been on a Tuesday night resting and maybe going to the gym on a Wednesday.
Who would that be? Just boys for your scheme?
Yeah, there were boys there in the team. Do you know, like, especially when I went to Queen's at first, we had a Tuesday was, every second Tuesday was a day out. Yeah,
Carbon,
going to watch Rangers games in the Champions League and then
straight out. Yeah. So Dumbarton, was it a low point, Dumbarton? Do you remember being low?
I don't know, but... For me, I was still full-time with St Johnstone. I was going to play some games with Dumbarton, so I don't think it really hit home that where I was at that time.
Because mm-hmm. I think Snoddy as well, I remember Snoddy went to Stirling Albion, and speaking to him as well, he said that was the motivation for him to think, right, come on, I need to get my finger out here as well.
Because I seen how the boys were coming in, they were covered in dirt because they were out working all day on the roads or whatever. And then I'm obviously training them all in St Johnstone, then going there, and I'm thinking... I go to give this a shot and see what I can do.
See, when you were playing for Dumbarton, did you always believe in yourself that you could make it to the top level?
I did, but not as far as I got. As when I did my best at Swansea and then I looked back, say 5 years, I was playing for Dumbarton. So to come from that to that, I could have never dreamed that.
Mm-hmm. So how did Queen of the South come about then after Dumbarton?
Ian McCall just gave me a phone and said, look... I want you to come here. I think you'll score goals for us. And we were second bottom at the time. And agreed it and I went and it was brilliant.
How mad is Ian McCall?
I think he's calmed down now. Neil Scally's told me he's calmed down a wee bit. But back then he was, I think it was good he had Gordon Chisholm there, they know the tactics and that.
Was he no one for coming late to training and all that as well?
Coley was a wee bit... But that's the type of manager he is. It's off the cuff. Mm-hmm. If they're going to score three, we'll score four. So it suited me.
I guess he's man management that the boys say is his best.
Yeah. I got on great with him. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have a bad word to say about Coley.
He liked a wee game of... Did he like a game of poker at the back of the bus as well?
Yeah, we played cards, yeah. And, but it was... At that time, Queens were half part-time, half full-time.
Right.
So some boys weren't there until like Thursday night. And then we would all be done, we'd stay in Dumfries and then we'd have to stay in the hotel because we trained Friday morning and we'd be up to 2 a.m. playing poker.
he's known for his temper as well. What's the worst you've seen him?
Coley, is he? Who told you that?
Everyone that plays for him, no?
No, he was all right. Well, when I was there with him, we went on a mad run where we won 13 out of 16, so I'd never really seen that.
Uh-huh. And did he just give you confidence as a player? Or?
He just let us go and play. He says... play off the big boy Sean O'Connor and just go wherever you want. And I think it was a year Gretna was doing well, mm-hmm. and we went down there, beat them 3-0, and we just kicked on for them.
Under Queen's 2008 Scottish Cup final, talk us through that run to the final. Did you believe you could get there?
I think after we beat Dundee in the quarter final, and it was a full house, and Ryan McCann scored for 84 yards.
Can't do, didn't he?
Aye. Big Sammy, if he had went up for Dundee, can pop back out and McCann score for 84 yards. So after that, and then we thought it was Celtic or Aberdeen. So we were preparing ourselves for Celtic. Aberdeen beat them. And then we went and beat Aberdeen 4-3 in the semi-final. So when we go to the final, we there was nothing to worry about.
How was the build-up to that final? Do you remember it?
It was manic, but obviously Rangers were in the European Cup final on the Wednesday.
You're
so there was about 8 days down there watching them. We were playing them 3 days later. So it wasn't too bad.
Because they had a big backlog of fixtures.
They did that.
Did you fancy yourself before the game to beat them after
Chizzy kind of said, like, we can get to half-time, hopefully the tiredness will kick into them. And we were obviously 2-0 down, and he just said, look, just go out and get your best shot and see what happens. We ended up 2-each after 10 minutes, and I think for the next 10 minutes we rattled them. Mm-hmm. And then Big Boydie scored the
as
winner.
As he does.
Aye.
How is Big Gordon Chisholm as a manager? Good?
Really good. He had, I don't know if you know Kenny Branigan, you know him?
Nah.
He had him in with him. He was the stern man.
Right.
He would like a battery if you won the day in, right? But Chizzy was good. He knew a lot about the game and the tactics.
See, when it went 2-2, did you think you were going to win?
I did. I generally did. Because I think Stevie Tosh put it in, but then Big Jimmy scored an unbelievable header.
Jim Thompson, I remember it.
Carlos Coelho, right in the corner, and then you start to believe, because I think we had like 40,000 there. I think everybody from Dumfries was out their houses. And then you start to believe, but I think in the end, it was just, the occasion was amazing.
And did you go out after it? You were celebrating Rangers win, weren't you?
No, don't say that. No. We had a big party in Dumfries, and then we had a bus tour to just, because I think it was the first time we'd ever been in that cup final.
It must have been some team spirit for a team for the lower league to get to the Scottish Cup final. Who was the main character?
You had Jimmy, you had Stevie Tosh.
Stevie Tosh, the midfielder.
You had Neil McFarlane.
So
it was a good group of players we had assembled.
Uh-huh. But at that time, I think 23 goals you'd scored. Were you thinking, right, now's the time to move on?
Well, that was the next season. I went away and worked hard in pre-season. I thought, I've got 1 year left, right, I'm going to get a go and see what I can do. Came back, I think it was about a stone lighter. And as you say, I scored all the goals, and there was a wee period where Motherwell and United wanted me. So kind of was nearly making up my mind to go to Dundee United, and then got word that Swansea were coming in for us.
And who was it, an agent or something that would just tell you?
Well, what had happened was Graham Jones was...
Is that Martinez's assistant?
Aye. Uh-huh. So he was the number two under Billy Reid at Hamilton the year before.
Right.
And he quite liked me, so he wanted me to go to Hamilton before I went to Queen of the South. And I chose Queen of the South, and so he always kept an eye on me, and that's how it came about.
And was it a no-brainer for you once you heard the Swansea's interest?
Yeah, they came and watched about 3 or 4 games, and luckily, I think it was St Johnstone, I scored 2 up there, and then they came and watched against Clyde at home, scored 4, and then got the phone call, right, you're going to Swansea.
And how did Dundee United take that? Who was the manager then?
I can't remember. Dundee were all right. I hadn't really... It was just in the pipeline that it was sort of getting agreed in the interest, but once Swansea came in, there was nothing. There wasn't even a thought of going anywhere else.
You remember the trip down? Take the missus and that, didn't we?
Yeah, we went down with the missus, met Roberto and...
How was he, Martinez?
Brilliant. They were just... I was in the meeting half an hour when I wanted to go out and play football. That's the way he talked about the game. So we went there, we went for the weekend and signed the contract. Brilliant. Can't believe this. So the liaison was taking us about. Mrs. was being sick. She was no well for that weekend. Ended up, she was pregnant because we'd been trying. So we found out when we were there. And she's like, right, we'll not tell anybody. I was like, right, okay. Big Lakey took us to this kind of beach. I'm like, right, I'm having a few beers. Just found out I'm going to be a dad. Mm-hmm. She's like, no, you're not. You've just came and met the manager. I'm like, right, okay. 3 years later, I was wrecked. But Big Graham was there, he was fine, he was no bother.
But did Martinez leave no long after you'd signed you?
I was in Magaluf with the boys, I had to leave and do Fae Queens. It was about 6-7 years. I got a phone call, he's got to Wigan. I was like, oh, great. But we want you over on Tuesday for a fitness test. I was in Magaluf for a week.
That's a double bad news.
I was like, oh, God's sake.
Did you put the beer down or did you keep drinking?
I think I kept drinking.
How did that fitness test go?
No, it was fine. It was no bother. It was just a wee treadmill running. It was just kind of for the physio to kind of look over.
Like a
stuff.
Medical sort of. So did Martinez not tell you yourself that he was going there?
No, he obviously came very quick and he was away. And I went to Swansea without a manager.
Uh-huh. And first impressions of Swansea when you got there, did you, first couple of weeks, did you think I can play here, or was it a bit nervy at first?
It was a bit nervy at first because it was a big jump from Scottish, it was Division 1 at the time, Scotland, to the Championship in England. So you go and your players like Ashley Williams and Joe Allen and that are there, and you, first couple of sessions, you can see the difference of the level.
Uh-huh. But just is it just in the pace of the player, or is it just the quality?
Just the, probably the pace and the quick thinking. It was that much sharper, and I knew myself that it was a big step up.
Did you take to it straight away, or did you struggle at first?
I thought I took it to it straight away, but
the boys told
Paulo,
me you struggled.
Paulo Sousa had a different, he had a different look on it.
Oh, really? How?
Just, at that time, he was wanting to play one up front, so, and it didn't really suit my game.
Uh-huh. So would you have a couple of meetings with him?
Well, I played against Scunthorpe and broke three ribs. Right. So I was out for a couple of weeks, and I trained on the Friday, and he said, right, I'm playing Middlesbrough, you're straight in. I was like, I'm still protecting myself. No, I'm the manager, you're right in. So played on the Saturday, got whipped at half-time, and didn't play again.
Was there ever thoughts then about leaving that early?
No, not really. I thought I'll just work hard and get myself back in the team, but it didn't really happen.
Was he not really a likeable guy amongst the boys? Come on, you can tell us.
No, he was all right, but it was more like in pre-season where he was like teaching his slide tackles and all this kind of stuff. His TD running. So what? Some of the boys are like, what's going on here? And he's teaching his slide tackles on the pitch. I'm like, can I do a bit of shooting? Yeah, but you're not allowed to hit the ball hard.
I'm like, no chance.
So we ended up like Gary Monk and Ash were going running on the beach at night time because we weren't really doing much fitness work. It was more tactical running without the ball. Uh-huh.
Gary Monk, was he the captain at the time?
Yeah, he was brilliant.
Great
leader, and you can see by what he's doing in the manager as well.
Would he say anything to the Sosa about we need to do more? Or?
No, it was more because we were still getting used to him. And then we'd just get a wee group ourselves and we were going running on the beach.
Wow. So when did you first hear that Sosa was away?
Well, I went on loan to Blackpool. And then in the summer coming back, I think it was about 3 days into it, he got the Leicester job.
Oh, so he did get the Leicester job, eh? And Brendan Rodgers takes over?
And then Brendan came in. By the time I was wanting to go back to Blackpool, because they'd been promoted. Mm-hmm. And kind of been agreed money-wise and the fee was just getting agreed and it just couldn't get over the line. And Brendan said, look, I want you to stay here like the way you play. I'm going to try and adapt you into more of a number 10. So we signed a new contract and ended up staying.
And did the players love him straight away?
Brilliant, aye.
What's so good about him?
Just like he's training every day. Like it's,
slide tackles?
No, slide tackles. No. Just his training was amazing. Like even when we got to the Premier League and I wasn't in the squad, I still enjoyed coming in and training. Mm-hmm. And it made you feel part of it even though you weren't even in the squad.
See, you're not, was it the same group of players?
Mostly the same group of players, yeah.
How important is a manager? Even with top players, how important is a good manager?
For me, Brendan was unbelievable. Like, not only was he, like, when you're stretching, he'd be running about you all and speaking to all you individually. But he kind of just man-managed the ones that he needed to, with the arm round or the... Mm-hmm. He didn't really shout at you, but like if he came in his notepad, he'd normally work for the defence down the way. But if he started it where I was, obviously up front, you knew he was not happy.
But see, a guy like Paulo Sousa with a massive playing career behind him,
yeah.
And then you get a guy like Brendan Rodgers who's not played,
yeah.
And it's night and day. How can that be, eh?
I just think, well, Brendan obviously got injured early and went straight into coaching and learning. I think he spent, I don't know if it was a couple of months or whatever, over at Barcelona, and he learnt Spanish and all that. So even the Spanish players, he could speak to them and say what he really wanted, where instead of like trying to speak in English. So I think that was a big part of it as
could
well.
Could he speak banter now?
Couldn't speak Glaswegian.
How much did you enjoy his style of play for a player like yourself? Brilliant. It must have been a dream, eh?
But that's what I mean. When I came in, I was a striker. When he came in, sorry. And then he converted me to number 10. Mm-hmm. So I was basically, when the ball was, say, right wing, I was over helping. It was, don't run back as much, but just when we're attacking, you get the ball. Mm-hmm. And it was brilliant.
He just mentioned the players, Joe Allen and stuff like that. How good was guys like Joe Allen, Ash? Who was the best out of them? Britton was a great player, wasn't he?
Leon Britton, honestly, he was underrated. See, when you play like Toro, you couldn't get, he was never in the middle. Could never get the ball off him. Mm-hmm. Joe Allen, Ash, Nathan Dyer, different level of players.
And were they players struggling under Sosa?
Well, no, they nearly got to the playoffs, didn't they? Mm-hmm. They missed out by a point with Blackpool. That we
oh,
got
you
there,
beat them in
we got them by a point. So I was going back knowing that we'd put them out. So some of the boys are texting and I'm like, oh, sorry lads, but tough luck.
But Rodgers gets you promoted?
He did. It was fantastic. It was just a style of play. Like mm-hmm. they say the way he does with Celtic, with the Invincible team, the way he's passing and moving, and he just breeds that confidence in players.
And was there big celebrations when you went up?
Yeah, big. We're straight back to Swansea, had a big hotel, and then the next day we went to kind of like the mayor's office. And so we've been drinking like 3 days in a row. Me and Alan Tate just reached into the bucket for a beer, and Brendan went, no, you still have had enough. I cornered this. You're going on a bus in 20 minutes. So I was like, right, okay, gaffer.
Does he not like boys going out in that?
No, he did, but I think because we were going on a bus tour and that kind of thing, he wanted more reserved. Yeah. And because they all, I mean, there was like 30, 40 old fans out in the street, 30,000 fans on the street, so it was, I don't think he wanted anybody being sick of the side of the bus.
What about that Swansea team? Who was the characters in that?
Gary Monk.
He was
always playing jokes and all that, but when it came serious, he was the main leader.
Uh-huh. Good player.
Very underrated.
Right.
The way he read the game. Maybe not as good on the ball, but he'll tell you he was. But he was very underrated.
You scored in the playoff final?
Yeah.
How was that feeling for you?
Amazing.
A wee boy for Blantyre, was at Dumbarton?
Amazing. I was reading your thing, like the nerves was coming up to the game because you see the fans outside on the bus. But actually walking out, there wasn't much nerves, and when the ball popped back and I put it in, it was like a dream.
Did you know in the week leading up that you were playing? Would Brendan tell you? Would you work on stuff? Or was that undecided? Were you not sure?
No, well, it was between me or Dan Pratley to play in the number 10, and I had been playing up to the game. But then Dan ended up scoring like an 80, the same as McCann's, about 80-yard finish to win for the final goal in the semis. So right. I was leading up to it, I'm thinking, he might go with Prats. But he put us on the Thursday and says, like, listen, I'm going to start you. So it was just a matter of getting ready for it.
Did you hear all the family down at the game?
Yep, everybody was down. And then all to the hotel in Swansea. So the club had put all the buses on for the families as well and put the hotel on for all the family. So it was amazing.
Uh-huh. Other than the goal, what's your memories for the game?
The most from the goal, I set up the second one. The ball got whipped in. And I always remember watching back. You can see Brendan in the background to Angel Rangel saying, don't pass it to him. Just keep it and pass it back to me. And he fired it in, and Keish Nashvili came close to me. And I did a wee 1-2 jink round him and outpaced him, cut it back. Scotty Sinclair put it in. And then I've got a big photo with me celebrating after that goal, just myself on my knees, with the Reading fans behind me. And it was just fantastic.
Brilliant. He talked about his tactics and stuff like that, but what about team talks and stuff like that? Like the team talk before a playoff final, is he quite good?
He's brilliant. Like he would have us in a circle just before you go out, and he'd designate every week like somebody else to give the wee last thing. But as I said, when he came in at half time and he had his notepad, mm-hmm. if you were a forward player and they started with you, or he started with attack play, you knew he wasn't happy.
Uh-huh, the old stare in that as well. Uh-huh.
But he never really shouted or kicked anything. It was just his stare. Mm-hmm. And he would tap his notepad. You go, oh no.
What I want to know is, did you ever need to give the last bit of the team talks? I want to know what you would say.
Yeah, I think he went round everybody. But I don't think some of the Welsh boys, I don't think he'd understand me. I spoke that quick.
Uh-huh. So why did you leave him?
Well, Brendan had obviously left. And then Michael Laudrup came in, and he kind of said he wanted to bring a few his own players in, so my chances were going to be limited. And then Brighton came in for me, so it was just the right move at the right time.
You kept nipping his ear about Brian, didn't you?
Brian? Oh, I did a few times, to be honest. Yeah, we went.
Did he speak about him?
Yeah, he was quite an open person about him. Uh-huh. And obviously Michael was unbelievable himself. He would join in the training and He could still play.
Was he brilliant? Uh-huh.
Brilliant. His one touch, two touch was amazing.
Was he quite an arrogant guy, or was he all right?
No, he was very, very soft-spoken and very nice.
He done well at Swansea, didn't he? They played some good football
as well. He did, Danny. Uh-huh. But I spoke to him a lot about Rangers.
Did he like Rangers?
Yeah, he was all right. Uh-huh.
Would he go to watch Brian and stuff like that? Can you remember now?
No, I can't remember, but obviously he must have, because Brian was a legend, wasn't he?
Uh-huh. So you end up back at Blackpool for the later stages of the promotion pooch. Ian Holloway was the manager. How was he?
Brilliant. For character-wise and just all-round entertainment, he's absolutely amazing. Like, things, just simple things, like you come in on a Thursday, and I don't know if you've ever been to the Blackpool training ground at Squires Gate. It's like about 100 metres away from the beach, so the wind hits all the sand, and so when you're out there, you're getting hit in the face, and the goals are blowing across the field. So the gaffer would just, like, look out. Nah, not the day, lads. Come on, we're going for a fry up. Take us for a fry up, honestly.
No way. Yeah? Really,
you turn up and you just don't know what you're going to get. You're like, boys, mum, we're going crazy golf today. My mate owns the park. Like, his mate owned this big park, right? Mm-hmm. It was like Strathclyde Park. And we're like, we're going down, my mate, we're going to get it in the paper. All the players with an ice cream and playing crazy golf and that. So we're right. Guy's got all the 99ers ready and we're all stunning. I'm like, where's the gaffer? All of a sudden, behind us, he comes flying past in a speedboat. Comes flying past in a speedboat with like a Blackpool flag. And all the boys are just like, oh, not again. Not again. But that was the character he was.
Was he good one-on-one?
Brilliant. He was excellent. Mm-hmm. But what made me laugh about him was when he had like Spanish players, he'd try and speak Spanish, right? But so he had this Spanish midfielder, and what he was wanting to do was like draw them in and counter attack. So he's gone and he's saying to him, like, when they pull him in, you know, like a bow and arrow, right? Pull him in and then we'll. But as he done that, he'd sprint. He's sprinting away down the pitch, and the Spanish boy was looking about at us and we were going, oh.
Brilliant.
Do you know what I mean? Uh-huh. Things like that just made the team spirit.
Did the boys love him? Uh-huh.
If you spoke to like Charlie Adam, that he was crackers. Uh-huh. But the club gave him this wee smart car, wee on smart car. You know, we had the big, you know, you get the big bins at the stadiums. Every day we'd lock his smart car in with these four bins. So he'd kick the door in and he'd be like, who's putting my motor in there again?
In the bin.
They all cornered it in. But he was all right.
When so you get see his
him,
back?
Oh, you see him out pushing the bins to get his motor out.
Oh,
but he was like one of the boys.
Uh-huh. Like, would he go out with you, isn't it?
Sometimes. He'd pick and choose. We'd go out for a few beers and a meal and then he would let you just get on with it. Mm-hmm. But things like when we were at Palace and we got promoted, we're driving through London and he's like, hey, I'm going to get the beers in. He's half, his wife's on the bus. He's half with a trophy. There's like 50 guys running like, in this area. We didn't know where we were. Uh-huh. And he's dancing about with the trophy and his wife's like, get him on the bus. So some of the players had to go off and drag him on.
I've seen him dancing a few times in the dressing room. Did he do stuff like that?
Aye, loves it. Music's on, comes in, we're winning. Just been dancing about. Brilliant. Yeah.
Is that probably why Blackpool done so well, sorry, because of Ian Holloway's personality and the team spirit
he created?
So. Uh-huh.
I think we were, well, when I went, I went like January time, and they were tipped for relegation and ended up winning promotion. So for me, it goes down to how the manager treats the players and gets them together.
Is he another one that just let you play?
He just let every forward play. He was like, if they score seven, we will score eight. Yeah. It was honestly. We played a Rezi game, and it was me, Barry Bannon, and Billy Clark. We were playing, like, it must have been like an amateur team, right? And we beat them like 9-1. I scored two, Barry scored three. He just went, you know what, I'm just going to play you three on Saturday against Crystal Palace. He took the front three off.
Could you beat an amateur team?
He's a confident on his go. Put the three is in.
How did you do on the Saturday?
I think we drew two each. Nene scored.
I mean, could he pull you up as well, though? Was there a switch in him? Wasn't it always just fun?
No, not really. Not really.
Was it always just fun?
Aye, it was like, if you go beat, you just be like, right, I know how we go beat there, right? We'll see you Monday.
Oh, I love it. Barry Ferguson was there. How good was he?
Brilliant. Obviously, I watched him as a kid, and then but to actually training with him, and you've seen as I said about Liam Britton, you couldn't get the ball off him. Fergie was the same, and he was his career was it was amazing, wasn't it?
As good as Britton and Joe Allen and guys.
Oh, Fergie was even better.
Even better, really, right?
One of the moaniest guys on the pitch.
He money you?
Oh, all the time. Because I went running back. He gave me the ball, if I lost it, I just let him chase it. But Fergie was brilliant.
Was he one of the boys? He was the
one that organised everything.
Was he? Would the Scottish boys stick together?
We did die. At the time then, we had Gary McKenzie, Cup Broadfoot, Stephen Craney. So we did have a good group of Scottish lads.
It's a big Rangers thing, that, though, isn't it? Craney was
he was all right. Craney was brand new. But
Would you all go and watch Celtic and Rangers games and stuff like that when you're doing that?
No, because I think most of the time the boys would travel back up, like Fergie and Gaz would travel because their family still lived back in Glasgow.
So they would go up quite a lot.
Me and Cranes, we had a few times out and watching it. Because Cranes just obviously, he stays along the road for us.
Right, okay. He's a bit of a legend at Blackpool, Craney, isn't he?
Yeah, he was, yeah. He's the under-18s coach at Fleetwood now as well, so he's doing really well.
Good. Yeah. Just on that playoff final you're talking about, hard done by, I think.
West Ham. Uh-huh. Yeah, I think so. I think after 2 minutes I hit the post. Rob Green went through his legs and hit the ball to his leg and hit the post. And we had a few other chances and then the boys scored right at the end. It was out of the two games, I think that was the one where it was harsh.
Uh-huh. West Ham a good team too?
They were, yeah. But I thought they had like Kevin Nolan in that plane.
Was it up like Sam Allardyce, was it?
Yeah.
Very direct. Uh-huh.
Very direct, and that's how they played and they managed to get back up.
Was the Championship mostly like that back then? Most of the teams go direct to her?
I think the ones that had the bigger players did. But the likes of when Brendan came in, we had smaller players like Leon Britton and Nathan Dyer, Joe Allen. We weren't that big a team. So the way he set us up to play, counteract the long ball, and we just got joy for it.
Mm-hmm. Was Holloway the same? Did he want you to play all the time?
There wasn't really much structure there.
Was it?
Holloway's, it was more... It was wee things like if we're playing 4-3-3 and the boys coming down, say, Craney's side, the right winger, just stay up. Don't even chase back, just stay up. Because we knew if Charlie Adam got the ball, he could ping a ball 90 yards and we'd be attacking. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like, right, if they don't score, I think we can score for them attacking.
See, like a guy who's not really that like structured and organised, like see a top player like Barry Ferguson, didn't he never get frustrated or that bit now?
Don't know if I can say that on camera. But like I'll give you an example for Ian Holloway, right? You could come in and you'll read the team at Naborough. We played Reading away and we were in the hotel just at our pre-match. We walked into the room and there's Lucozade bottles on the flare in a shape. Right? But so he's got like say the 4-3-3 and he's stuck sticky tape to them with your name on them. So all the boys are on the floor like on hands and knees to see if you're playing. So I was there playing and then so you move over. He's got the subs lined up as well. Right? So I'm on the bench. Oh, I'm on the bench just as well. But some boys with names on there.
Amazing.
They're reading the team off a Lucozade bottle. So
just trying to imagine.
Just brilliant. Brilliant.
How good was Charlie Adams at you?
Brilliant. He was I think that's the best I've ever seen Charlie play. But he just got the freedom to... We had Keith Southern and David Vaughan.
I remember the two.
To
dogs,
protect Charlie, just play your game any way you want. Shoot for... He just shoots for everywhere, Charlie, but he's got the ability to do it. Uh-huh.
So you go back to Palace, and then for a third spell, you go back to Blackpool,
yeah,
where Barry Ferguson's the manager.
Yeah, he ended up becoming the manager. It was Paul Ince first, and Alec Ray was the assistant. And then they ended up moving on, and Fergie got the job. So that was it was a hard transition, obviously, because he was a captain, the player. As I said, he organised all the nights out to then becoming the manager. Mm-hmm. So I think the first couple of weeks is obviously hard to... That's a hard transition to do.
Just on Paul Ince, actually, how were they? Big name, Paul Ince, yeah?
Yeah, he was more... He was more wanting you to go and get right in their faces, same as Alec Ray as well. It was more man on man, get up against them.
That's not for you, though,
is it? No, it wasn't for me. I think that's how I didn't play as many games under Ince.
But were you happy yourself when Barry got the job?
Yeah, because I'd went back to Palace and I was trying to get back on loan because I had went on loan outside the window. So I could only go on loan for to the January, and then they had to renew it. But at that time, Ince was leaving, and then ended up Fergie got it. And then Fergie phoned me like 2 nights before the window closed and says, right, that's you, you're back, because Ince's going on loan to Palace. So I was like, brilliant. And then you come in, he's the manager, and he's like, right, you've got to get your body fat down. I'm like, are you kidding me on?
Is that what he said to you?
Yeah, he was only kidding me.
Jinky will get back into management. Jinky's born to do it.
I think going to Clyde, difference for being Blackpool manager to being Clyde manager. And I think hearing from other players that played under him, he tried to do all the right things. I think he even spent money himself to take them up to hotels before the nights of games and brought protein and all this kind of stuff. So you can see the willingness there and the knowledge he's got of the game, I'm sure he'll get back in something.
Did the Blackpool boys take him as manager?
Yeah, everybody liked him. Uh-huh. Do you know what I mean? It was because they obviously respected him for what he'd done in his career.
But at that time, it was a real nightmare at Blackpool, wasn't it? I mean, the fans were against the chairman. What's your memories of that?
Yeah, it was a hard time. Obviously, they'd made a lot of money from the promotions and maybe didn't put as much back as the fans wanted. So the fans started dwindling, the crowd started dwindling down, and then protests were happening and were playing games and they're throwing like 1,000 tennis balls onto the pitch at one time and all this kind of stuff. And so you turn up for a game and there's protests outside and they're refusing to go inside. So you've seen half the stand empty because they're still standing outside protesting. But things like, they made like a big, you know, one of the, like a billboard, right, on wheels. So they'd go around, right, and there was a big cow, like a cash cow, they were saying about him. So there's no problem. It's left outside. I think it was like on a Monday then. He's out and the chairman's taking photos with it, like the asshole, look at us. So he kind of seen the funny side of it, but obviously if you see the crowds now, the fans are refusing to go in.
What's he like, the chairman? Is he all right?
I got on fine with him.
Is he a bit weird though, huh?
He was more, I wouldn't say he was more for the money, but I think when you get a club like where he took Blackpool from and where they got to and obviously the money they got, I think he was happy taking it in and spending it out.
And he gave it to you, so didn't he?
To me? Totally not to me. Definitely not to me.
Is it sad to see the way Blackpool's went off, being in the Premier League to where they are now?
It is, because obviously I still live in the area, and when you're speaking to fans that they wish the season tickets, they would buy them like 2 years, a 2 year block, and now they just don't even bother with it. Some of them are going to Fleetwood now, mm-hmm. because it's just up the road.
Sad times, eh? You eventually end up at Bolton, where another old firm, great, Neil Lennon.
Really?
How did
Hello, Kevin Lennon.
How did that come about?
I went to Fleetwood before it on loan because I went back to Palace and my oldest boy started school in the Blackpool area, so I didn't really want to go back to London. So I went on loan to Fleetwood when I really shouldn't have. I had like Ipswich and that one might have gone loan, but I ended up going there. And then that came through. Lenny was the Celtic manager and there was interest in me going there.
No chance.
No, I would have. A massive club, and at that time to maybe go back to Glasgow was appealing. Mm-hmm. But then went to Bolton and didn't play as much as I would have liked under Lenny.
Why do you think that was? See, another one that maybe didn't, his style doesn't really suit your type of player.
Yeah, I think he was more defensive. Obviously, he was a holding midfielder, wasn't he? So me and my number 10 role, I don't think really suited.
But again, trouble at the club as well, eh?
Yeah, we went through a bad patch of administration. Especially like the older boys, I was 1 month, 3 months we didn't get paid. So obviously the PFA and all that stepped in and the older boys said, look, the kids need the money. So, because obviously some of them were 20-year-olds in flats and they couldn't deal with not getting paid. So once I think that was a big bearing on where we ended up.
Could Lenny lose his temper as well, eh?
Have you seen that before? yeah, Lenny could. Yeah, there was a few times, a few doors.
You ever on the receiving end there?
Don't think so.
Nah. So, playing at that level, Crystal Palace, big clubs, yeah. Was it a bit a hard decision to come back to Queen of the South?
You know, it wasn't. Like, when I left Queen's, I kept in touch with a lot of people, and even some of the directors and all that are still there now. And I always said I would come back because I had such a great time and they gave me a platform to go. And even when the Swansea move was coming about, they were fantastic with me. They were letting me have 5 days off to go down, come back on a Thursday, just to go and get my family sorted and all that kind of stuff. So, and the feeling I had about the place with the fans and all, I always said I would come back. So when the chance came, and it was off the back of the Bolton not playing a lot and sitting, and I think I was like 33, and I think, I don't want to be doing this the last couple of years, scraping by and maybe not coming on for a game, playing one game on the bench. So I made my mind up to go back to Queen's.
You must have had a few other offers though, eh?
There was a few. I had, like say, Oldham and Rochdale and that down near where I stayed. Mm-hmm. But to just go and play football and go back to a club that gave me so much and helped me turn my career around, then it was the right time.
You're absolutely tearing it up just now. What are you putting that, didn't you?
I think the players behind me, I think the gaffer, that he's moved me up one, I'm playing main striker now, so I don't really have to run about. So I've got the likes of Gary Harkins has come in.
He doesn't like running about.
That was maybe the wrong person. But his ability on the ball
to find us,
and the Stirlings flying, Lyndon Dykes. We've got a good wee blend there that the chances are coming, and unfortunately they're going in just now.
21 goals. How many do you can get?
I don't know. I always say every season if I can beat last season. So the first season I had 26 coming back. Last season I got 27. I'm in 21 now. So
but you'd be devastated if you got 28 now. I think you'll get 100.
No. The thing is, as long as I'm helping the team, I'm always happy. But right now the goals are going in, so hopefully it'll continue.
No, that hunger or want to go higher, because I mean, I'm sure any team above would take you.
There's been a few attempts, especially at the January window. There was a few teams interested, but as I said to the board and the gaffer, there's no point for me. I'm happy where I'm at. I'm happy playing. That's what people say to me, why not go and play for a Premier League team, if you could? I say, there's no point. I'm happy for my family life as well, because when I go home, I can get my kids to the games. The home games is like an hour and a half up the road. Mm-hmm. So it suits me, so I'm happy. So why go and make an adjustment when I don't have to?
Not even just to see if you could still do it on that level? Or do you know you could?
I believe I could. Mm-hmm. And as I said to you, coming from Dumbarton to playing in the second division it was at that time, or third division, to playing at Wembley for Swansea. And I've played in the Scottish Premier League. It's no something that I've missed. So it's no something that it's a need for. But playing for a club that I love, that I've had a great time with, then that's the motivation for me.
Not even for the Rangers?
I think that's long past now. I think I'm a bit old for that.
You think?
But I'm enjoying where I'm at. And I would say that to any older player. Just find somewhere that you like playing for the last couple of years, because it's a long time retired.
Brilliant. What about future? Fancy being the manager? I'm trying to get Gary Naismith to start.
Yes, sir.
Just in general, fancy being a manager?
Definitely.
You done your badges?
Yeah, I've done my A licence. I'm helping with the 20s. I just came for the 20s reserve game there at Hamilton.
How did they get on?
Got beat 3-1.
Right, you're sacked.
But I think the reserve leagues are a lot different now. Like, they had the boy like James Keaton playing, so the different levels of your kids playing against, like, it's good experience for them. Mm-hmm. But it's a step up.
And you enjoy doing it with the kids, huh?
I love it. I take the strikers and the wingers generally every Tuesday and Thursdays as well. So getting the opportunity, and the gaffer just lets me free that, do whatever you want to try and help them.
When you do go into management, what managers will you take certain stuff for?
I think you take a bit from all of them. I think, as I say, Brendan Steele on the training field, being amongst them all, But working the way you want to work and where you should be, I think you take things for that. But then the likes of Ian Holloway and me, attacker myself, I just love going attacking. So, and the crazy side of it, especially the team bonding, I think that's a big thing.
Right, geez, a dancing.
Oh, no, Josh.
Thanks very much.
Thank you. Cheers.